Hello and welcome to the Gua Sha Show, helping you get the best results out of Gua Sha and Eastern medicine for the face and the body. I'm your host, Clive Whittam, and every week we explore the world of Gua Sha to help you use and understand this great technique with research and stories and guests and useful tips. So let's get straight into this episode and let's look at how you use Gua Sha tools. Hello, and thank you for joining me in my podcast today. I do appreciate you spending your time listening to this, and I've got a great show for you with some stories and important tips about using a Gua Sha tool on your face and your body. Right, so you've got your tool. Now, it might be specifically made for Gua Sha and made of buffalo horn, jade, plastic, quartz, porcelain, copper, resin, hemp wool, cotton thread, clamshell, or metal. Yet these are some of the materials which are available for Gua Sha tools. Or you might have something appropriate that you have at home, like a Chinese soup spoon or a small bowl, which is absolutely fine. And your tool might be fish-shaped or kidney-shaped or heart-shaped or oval or semicircular or rectangular or triangular, or it might even look like a butterfly. It really doesn't matter. Incidentally, if you're wondering about the difference between the different materials and shapes and sizes, well, I've done a few videos of them on my YouTube channel, but I'm going to put my expert eye on that topic in an episode of the Gua Sha Show coming up. But for now, we're just looking at a generic Gua Sha tool, which is any one of those tools that I mentioned. And this is actually an important concept for me. If what you're doing with Gua Sha can't be done by any appropriate tool, then you've got to question what you're doing with Gua Sha. So what I mean by appropriate tool is that there are certain characteristics that a tool must have, such as having a smooth side, which is not going to damage your skin, and it has to be the right size for your hand so it doesn't hurt when you scrape for the person who's actually doing the scraping. But my rule for anything I do with Gua Sha is that it has to be applicable to anyone in any situation, wherever you are in the world. So you might be wondering why I see Gua Sha in this way. And to explain a little bit, let me just fill you in with some of my background my route to Gua Sha. So my first university degree was a Bachelor of Science in Economics. And this is going back to before I qualified in Chinese medicine. Now, this might make some people laugh who know me, because I'm absolutely terrible with anything connected with numbers. I'm completely lost without a calculator, even for the most basic calculations. And I definitely can't be trusted for accuracy for any figures. But anyway, so I graduated in economics and in a subject called development studies, which looked at the economies of less developed countries. And as a result of this, I twice ended up in Uganda, which is a beautiful country in East Africa, and I was doing research and funding projects. The first time was going back in the 1990s, and Uganda was still trying to recover from the wars in the 1980s. You might recall they had an infamous leader called Idi Amin, and it was during that time that they had the terrible wars. And the second time that I was there was just after the Rwandan Civil War, which is the country next door, and that was in 1994. So my research was focusing on the programs for rehabilitation for children who had disabilities or learning difficulties. And it was pretty tough what these families had to go through just to live every day. I mean, it wasn't just in the slums with open sewers, but out in the bush, sick, isolated and alone. And my experiences there made me realise that I didn't want to stand impotently with a notepad and a pen in front of people who desperately needed help in a much more physical way. And it wasn't just the sub-Saharan African experience. We spent many years in Thailand and North Africa and on our little island in the East China Sea. Now, I say we. If you've got the first two Gua Sha books, it's that person on the front cover who was with me all the time. Some people think that she's just a random Asian woman that I put on the cover of my books to sell them. In fact, I actually recall reading that in a comment. I think it was Amazon once. But no, she's my wife of 25 years and the person who first did gua sha on my back to fix my stomach ache. Now, that story is in the introduction to the first gua sha book. So I think she earned the right to be on the front cover many, many times over. So we spent most of the last 15 years in fairly isolated places. The Japanese island was, of course, an island, most of it being a UNESCO World Natural Heritage Site. And Melia, which is in North Africa, is pretty much an island in that it's got three giant razor-topped fences around it to separate it from Morocco. And with low cloud cover or strong wind, all transport across the Mediterranean just stops, sometimes for days. And if the border shuts as well, which it did, that's that. You're stuck and it's pretty much an island. So for me, gua sha has to be equally applicable to the slums of Katwe as it is to the streets of Manhattan. And it has to be applicable to the flying fish fisherman as it does to an entrepreneur in Barcelona. It has to be applicable from a health worker to a home worker. It has to be applicable from a professional to a hobbyist. And of course, it will be different and you're going to use it for different purposes and you might have different tools and different treatment goals, but the principles will be the same. This is gua sha for me. So it was really common in my North African clinic to have whole families come into the treatment room. There'd be the patient and their spouse or their siblings or their parents or their cousins or their second cousins or their second cousins twice removed or their in-laws, or sometimes they're not even related at all and it's their neighbour or their friend. And so treatment was sometimes a communal thing, which I think is great. You know, the actual treatment is on the patient, but the rest of them shared in the experience by watching and chatting and questioning and basically keeping an eye on me, but just being there. And my treatments were delivered in Spanish, and this often had to be translated into Tamazight, the Berber language of the Atlas Mountains of central Morocco, and actually quite often involved four languages, English and Spanish, and then French is thrown in, and then Tamazight. And the whole thing sometimes sounds really bizarre, but it was always a lot of fun. So I often took advantage of having this natural influx of what are essentially auxiliaries for me, because when possible, I showed them how to treat their loved one at home with a gua sha tool. And I had lots of gua sha tools exactly for that purpose. And I say gua sha tools, but basically they were spoons. And I always made sure to show them certain things. So let me show you now some of the things I used to show them for using a gua sha tool. Well, one of the big things to get your head around with gua sha tools is direction. Now, you're going to see videos of people scraping their skin with a tool on YouTube and other places, and they're bringing the tool backwards and forwards. I've seen it especially on the face, but also on some other parts on the body. It looks a bit like painting a fence, going up and down and up and down. Now, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with what someone's doing when they're doing that, and maybe if they were to explain it, it makes perfect sense, and that's fine. But what they're doing isn't actually gua sha. I mean, it's really quite simple. One of the most basic tenets of doing gua sha is that the stroke is unilateral. So that means you scrape in one direction and you continue scraping in that direction, even if you're repeating the stroke in the same place. I can think of a few places which break this rule, at the back of your head, for example, but you can take it as a general rule. Don't go over the same area in the opposite direction of what you just did. And this goes for anywhere in the body. So if you're doing treatments on the face or if you're doing treatments on the body, it's the same thing. The same principle is applied. So why is this? Well, there's a natural tendency in your body which often matches muscle fibers, but not always, but which is based on circulation patterns. If you take a look at any traditional Chinese medicine meridian chart, so if you can see me now, I'm using my fingers to do speech marks around meridian. And these are the colored lines snaking all over the body on charts. Now, the reason I'm doing these speech marks around meridian is that meridian is essentially a bad translation of what the ancient Chinese texts were showing, which these lines represent. Now, the person responsible for this, and excuse my pronunciation, is Georges Sully de Morant. And he was a French diplomat who published a book called L'acupuncture chinoise in 1939, where he introduced the term meridian, along which qi moves in traditional Chinese medicine, which is now so widely used, but despite the fact that there's no direct equivalent to it in Chinese literature. So that's why I have these inverted commas. So just so you know, my issue is not that it's totally wrong with what he's saying, but it's totally inadequate to explain the complexity of the body, which the ancient Chinese did so beautifully using the natural world. So these circulation patterns are a great deal more complicated than these thin lines, which often closely match major blood vessels. And they involve the skin, the connective tissue, the muscles, the ligaments, the tendons and the bones, and a lot more in the area of these lines. So if I told you that you should scrape down the back, it isn't some piece of random advice that I'm giving you. It's following the natural downwards motion of the back of your body. Can you scrape in other directions? Well, yes, of course you can, but there's going to be a reason that you're going to be doing that. If you don't have a reason for it, then you're not. So if you don't have a reason for not doing this, the default on the back is downwards. So when you scrape, you're scraping in a downward direction. So the default of your head is coming backwards from the front of the head and going downwards towards the back. The default of the front of your body is downwards. The default of the outside of your arm is upwards. The default of the inside of your arm is downwards. So these are just examples for you, showing you the natural movement of the body. And basically every part has its kind of default setting of where it will be better to go in that direction, unless you have a reason to do otherwise. So if you come back to my advice to the family members in the treatment room, I would be telling them, okay, well, scrape down the back, and I show them the downwards movement, and then get one of them to actually get a tool and do it in front of me, and then I change how they're positioning. And then I say, okay, treat this leg, go up in this area and go down in that area. So I'll be very specific about directions. So I think you should too. So another important thing is the strength of the treatment. So first of all, let's look at holding the tool. So if you get your tool, you've got your thumb on one side, your fingers on the other, and your hand should be firm but relaxed. And the movement, whether it's a short scrape or a long sweep, should be clean and smooth. You start slowly and gently and increase pressure gradually. When you use the tool, you have the option of different techniques. For the face, you need gentler strokes like sweeping and circling. And for the body, scraping techniques like wide stroke and narrow stroke. So remember that it's the same thing doing the face and the body, but just a different intensity and rhythm. Also remember that if you do facial gua sha, it isn't lymphatic massage. And also that you're not mechanically reshaping the face with the strength of the tool. All of the changes happen in the tissue and muscle structure and in an organic way. Force isn't a part of the treatment. So the angle of the tool is really important. And go get your tool and try this experiment so you can feel the effect that the angle of the tool can make. Okay, firstly, hold it perpendicular to the skin so that it's at a straight 90 degree angle when you put it on the skin. Now, press down with the tool and pull the tool along the skin as if you were scraping with the gua sha tool. Okay, now angle the tool half of that at 45 degrees. It doesn't matter in which direction that you move the angle. So now that it's at a 45 degree angle, again, pull it across the skin as if you were scraping. Now turn the tool to a 45 degree angle the other way that you just did, and scrape in the same direction as you did before. So, firstly, it was perpendicular, 90 degrees, and you scrape in one direction. Then it's 45 degrees, and you scrape in the same direction. And then it's 45 degrees on the opposite side, but then you scrape in the same direction. So you're scraping in the same direction each time. Now, one of those angles should have dug into the skin more than the others. That's the angle which is going to give a stronger treatment. This is usually the angle which is facing away from the direction you're scraping in. So probably that's the one that you found. So now you know which angle is going to give a stronger treatment and which angle is going to give a lighter treatment. So the angle which you dug in the most is the strongest, and the angle which dug in the least is the lightest treatment. And so this is how we use the angle of the tool to give a stronger, a lighter treatment, depending on what you're treating, why you're treating, and who you're treating. Okay, so that's it for the show today. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and come and join me on the social networks. Come and join me on Instagram and Facebook and say hi. All the links are in the show notes at clivewhittam.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can check out the show notes at clivewhittam.com/guasha show. You'll also find loads of free videos and information. And if you need more help with guasha, definitely check out my online courses at the Komorebi Institute. I'll include the link in the show notes too. Talk to you soon.